the last question that I like to ask my guests before we run out to the end of the show, it's about self-censorship. And you know how for some reason or another, particularly if we might be on radio or something of that nature, there's certain things that we won't say because they are really far out and maybe the audience won't quite comprehend what we're saying, or maybe the host might judge us a little bit or something like that. Sure. So any researchers or things like that I have on this, I like to give them the opportunity. If there's anything of that nature that you wouldn't ordinarily say, if you think you might be judged, I won't do it. And if you think the audience might not get it, trust me, they're pretty bright and they will.
Yeah, well, I guess, I'll say I didn't get, in my next book, I'm going to get more into the whole start of eugenics movement in this country, which started in the early 1900s. And it basically was started by the wealthiest, just to throw it out there, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, not to smear all white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. It just happened that this group, the Carnegies, the Harrimans, the Rockefellers, the Bushes, you know, ended up being intermingled with that group. They started the eugenics movement in this country, and it was an incredible attack, not just on people of color, but it was Jews, Italians, ethnic people in general, a number of immigrants. They called Jews and Italians. They said 60% of them are inferior and needed to be sterilized, and they passed laws in 30 of the 50 states around the country stating this. And a New York Times top writer published a book about this called War Against the Weak. A guy named Edwin Black, he had been nominated for a Pulitzer Prize 10 times by his New York Times editors. But this information in particular, he wrote the book IBM and the Holocaust, which so happened, which did get, did become a bestseller. But his other books were just as important and didn't get out there. And so he documented how this movement, the eugenics movement, just, even though it officially ended after World War II, it was still around and still, you could argue it's still around in different forms to this day. So it targets, incredibly bigoted movement against a lot of people that aren't, part of this group, this supposedly elite WASP kind of Aryan group. And so this is a war. It's partly a class war, of course, and it's partly a bigoted war against people of color and people of, ethnic leftists in general. So, I think that's what we're dealing with here. And I'm sure I self-censor in some ways, but, in some ways I think it's because I just don't have enough evidence to support what I would, say in different ways. And for other reasons, maybe it's because the mainstream media, I'm sure, is affecting me in some way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always like to hypothesize and take stabs in the dark. And even if you don't have any evidence, you'd be surprised how much you can figure out if you just start thinking about it out loud.
Yeah, and that's why I end up getting to to obsessively research, the topics of this book. And then,
what'd you take, mate, like a whole decade on it? There must be some kind of obsession there.
Yeah, sure, there's a little bit of it. But I worked part-time at times and, full-time at other times when I needed to, but just kept, researching and writing on the side. And to me, this topic was interesting enough. And to me, also, I would say that Tupac and Bob Marley and Jimi Hendrix were just people that weren't covered in the kind of trove of research on political assassinations, and they needed to be covered. So I cover the, MLK and Hendrix and the Panthers, but then I also cover, Marley, Hendrix, and Tupac, because so many people love them for their music. I thought it would get them to find out about this alternative history in general and hopefully inspire them to become activists. And, I think it's worked a little bit, at least,
There's many roads to the truth, aren't there?
Oh, sure, yeah. A lot of different ways to go. You can do it, with books. You can do it with song. You can do it with a great radio program like you have, Vinny. You can do it with poetry, and, you could do it just, going out and getting involved in the protests and trying to influence the people around you. So many different ways to do it, but I hope everyone gets more active after hearing things, topics like this, programs like
this. That's the great thing about conspiracy, because it's all connected. It's like ice cream. Everybody's got a flavor that they just love and can't get enough of.
Yeah. Yeah, and music is just a fun one. You know, it's a fun one to... So now, you know, when you listen to some Tupac's old, more political songs, you can, you know, like Holler If You Hear Me, you can dance to it and appreciate it for its, you know, political education. When he says we got money for war but can't feed the poor and things like that.
Yeah. And it's the same thing over and over again. It's whenever an old great idea like freedom or a revolution or something, it becomes forgotten about. When it returns, people think it's new. They think it's revolutionary, but it's the same thing we've always seen before. It's the same tyranny that we've all seen before. History is just littered with tyrannies that have risen up and killed heaps of people and then basically been overthrown. And I think this is going to be one of the interesting ones, because corruption and tyrannical scumbaggery seems to be perennial throughout history. And I think that with the technology we have and the capacity that we have for getting truth out to mass awareness levels, we might actually be able to educate a population to the point where they will educate each subsequent generation to be vigilant and to watch out for the warning signs and make sure that this ugly type of system that we're living in right now never rears its ugly head again.
I sure hope so. What do you think, Vinny, about how bad U.S. is getting and how much New Zealand is getting just as bad? Or is New Zealand better than the U.S. right now? I actually got a friend out there who I'd like to visit, but it sure is tempting to change countries if this country gets too bad.
Well, look at it like this. You know how they call it a new world order?
Uh-huh.
Name me a country that's exempt from that definition.
I understand.
Same
that.
Stuff happening over there, man. Same stuff happening over here.
That's a shame.
But it's a shame.
But you're getting on some radio programs over there, like in Hamilton and places that are getting some good information out there, right?
Yeah, man. Well, dig this. It doesn't matter where you live. There's always good people somewhere that are willing to do the right thing. And I think that if you put your neck out there, not only do you become a target for the bad people who might want to stop you, but you become a lightning rod that will attract all the people that want to see you succeed. And Don, I want to thank you so much for your time and all the good work that you do.
Thank you so much, Vinny. Keep up the good work.
I'd love to have you on again sometime, man.
That'd be great. Thanks a lot, Vinny.